be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Usually when we hear about the kings of Israel, they are getting the situation wrong. But this morning we hear that Solomon got it right. And I have to ask myself, if I was asked the question that the Lord had asked Solomon, would I have gotten it right? If God would come to you and say, "I will give you anything you want," what would probably be the first thing that would come to your mind? Maybe enough money that I won't have to work again or worry about finances. Or maybe a gas tank that would never go empty. You never know. Or you might say, "I want to have a lot of influence over people. So make me a great speaker that I can go out and influence people and change hearts. Or make me a celebrity that I can be famous and I'll have my picture all over the place." Would it be one of those kind of responses? Obviously, the Lord acknowledges to Solomon that he could have asked for that. Solomon could have asked to live forever. He could have asked to get rid of all of his enemies. He could have asked for great wealth, but he didn't. Because he knew that there was something much more important than all of that stuff. And that was a wise and a discerning heart. He knew that the key to human life is not stuff. The key to human life is wisdom. Because wisdom teaches us the value of life and how to make the most of that and to see everything in its proper perspective. Solomon got it right. And he got it right so much so that he was able to govern wisely in Israel, at least for a little while, until he got too many wives, and then that got him in trouble. You know, for most people, one wife is enough, but it's, they said Solomon had over 500. That's enough to kill anybody, probably, both the husband and the wives. But there is, in answering that question, what would you want? There's another reason why Solomon's answer was so wise. Because if we were to ask for stuff, or for prestige, or for power, that makes it harder for us to gain wisdom. Have you ever thought of that? That those kind of things can keep wisdom away from us, not bring us wisdom. I said, all you got to do is watch the tabloids and the news shows, and you find out these people who have all of this fame and all of this money. They usually don't have a lot of common sense, and they have absolutely zero wisdom. And you would think, because you see these people, they always got their friends around them, or I guess they call them now their posse, you know? Everywhere they go, if they're going to a party, 50 of them are going to a party. And of course, the 49 aren't paying. It's number 50 who's paying the bills. And if they're paying the bills, are any of those 49 going to bother to tell number 50, "By the way, your life is seriously screwed up, and you need to get off the drugs and start thinking about your life in a proper way"? Would someone have enough sense to say that? Not if they want to keep living the high life. Because it's hard sometimes for us to hear the truth. And it's harder even to speak it. Because I know if they were to tell somebody that, they might all of a sudden not be in the crowd anymore. They might lose their meal ticket. It's even harder if we think about the things with people who possess power and authority. Are you willing to tell them the truth? Even your boss? That what you're doing is unjust and you're cheating people? Willing to go that far and tell them the truth of it? You might lose your job. And so we see that oftentimes power and wealth and fame can keep the truth from people. And in the process, they go on their merry way to self-destruction. In the end, they might start out this life full of stuff, but they end up at the end of life with an empty heart, a hollow soul, because no one had the courage to tell them the truth. So Solomon is very wise. But while Solomon is wise, we have to recognize that in our Christian faith, Jesus Christ is wisdom. There's a difference between being wise and being wisdom. Being wise means you've learned and you've had a different look at life. But Jesus Christ is wisdom incarnate. He is the truth. And we know that he is, in this gospel, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. That if we possess him, and if we let him possess us, we're going to find in life great joy. We're going to find in life a sure direction. We're going to know what's right, and we're going to know what's wrong. That's another thing that's difficult. Drives you crazy if there's nothing on the TV and you turn to one of the news channels with their pundit shows and they're arguing over whether something's right or wrong, and you think common sense tells you if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you know, it's a duck. Well, no, it might be a rhinoceros. Because no one seems to understand what truth is. It drives you crazy. This drives me crazy. And nowadays, that's a pretty short drive. Doesn't take much. But that's because we've lost the pearl. You know, when you think about it, when someone takes that from the field, there's also plenty of people who have that treasure and they've forgotten about it. Do you think the person who had that treasure in that field would have sold the field if he knew how valuable it really was? He traded something great for something of less importance. He had that great possession, and he sold it for mere money. The merchant had that great pearl. He got rid of it for mere material things. And when we think about it, if Christ is our pearl of great price, if he's our treasure in the field, and he is our sole reason for being, that's why we sell everything. We give everything over to Christ. Because we know if we give him everything, we receive back more than we ever could have had ourselves. We receive back many, many blessings that we're aware of and many that we're not aware of. Sometimes we forget just how grateful we should be for everything that we have. Like taking a breath or having our heartbeat or having our brain work. It's after 11, so all of our brains are working. Hopefully. We forget that. And we see in the course of our life, and this is human life in general, that we often take those great treasures that we have, we'll neglect their meaning, we'll sell them off slowly, piece by piece by piece. And then we look around and say, where is my treasure? Where is my guiding light? Where is my direction? Where is the truth? We look around and we say, we've lost it. And oftentimes it's not because it's been taken away. It's because we sold it bit by bit for something that we thought was better, but in the end we found out that it wasn't. You know, this weekend the Catholic media have been, and even some of the national media, have been playing up the fact that it was 40 years ago this past week that Pope Paul VI issued that encyclical Humanae Vitae, which talked about the evil of artificial contraception. He said it will lead to many destructive things. That something that seems quite easy, you take a pill to avoid conception, seems quite harmless. But in 1968, 40 years ago, he said, if the world follows this, what he called the contraceptive mentality, what is going to be produced? If that happens, all of a sudden now you'll see increased promiscuity. You'll see women being denigrated, violence against women. You'll see the rise of pornography. You'll see the rise of many other different things, and all of a sudden now, as a priest who hears confessions of grade school children, I hear things that grade school children are doing that I never would have heard until they were in college before. About sexual behaviors, sexual misbehaviors. You hear these things going on, you're thinking, all it is a pill. No, all it is an entire mindset which says sexuality has no consequences. And that's not true. As much as people wanted to believe it to be true, it's not. Because sexuality is tied into the core of being human. And the sexual life of people is to be lived out in a state of a total sacramental commitment of marriage. And out of that blooms the beauty of the family. And out of that blooms the beauty of culture. But when one of those is taken away, when all of a sudden now marriage is not about children and building up one's spiritual bond, but now it's just about convenience, or it's about finances, about those kind of things. For some people it is, for many people it's not. There are many people out there that are seeking really to live a good, strong, faith-filled life and recognize that life is that precious pearl. That there is living, but Jesus is life. And he gives men and women the great gift of being able to be co-creators and to produce this new life in this world. And after 40 years, we look at the world in which we've lived, in which now all of a sudden that mentality of contraception, artificial contraception, was brought into. And it doesn't take much except simply to point out the facts that are going on. And we see it has not raised up our human nature. It has lowered it. It's lowered it so much to the point that now they talk about, you know, in high schools giving these things to children, to adolescents, because they don't have self-control. All of a sudden, human beings who are creating God's image and likeness, who have a free will, with the mentality of they're saying, no, they don't have this. All they are a bunch of instincts, and so we have to protect them against themselves. We see this mentality go up. And it's very interesting because it has seriously damaged the church. One simple way it's damaged the church, and that is there aren't as many Catholics as there used to be. You know what the number one growing religion in the world is right now? It's Islam. And Islam is growing and growing because Muslim families are having lots of children and bringing their people up in their Muslim faith and teaching them that. And you see now France and England, all of a sudden Islam is becoming the prominent religion. Where'd Christianity go? We're putting ourselves out of business. We see the crisis in Catholic education. It's because there aren't that many Catholic children to educate anymore. And we look around and we say, many people are working, but not everybody is. And we see this slow degeneration, that sooner or later we've given up that pearl of great price, we've given up our fundamental trust in Christ, and both the marriage life and the family life, in the civil life, and we've let other things take it over. And it's produced what we see. And most of us don't like the world in which we live. It's a very dangerous world. It's a very lifeless world. And the world is such that oftentimes nowadays, another effect has happened. Many people have sought to have, if you will, sex without life, that now they have to have procreation without sex. They have in vitro fertilization and cloning and all these other things that are coming up. And so while many people thought Pope Paul VI was kind of crazy, and saying what he said in 1968, all we have to do is look at what time has said about the nature of marriage, about the nature of male and female, about children, about the culture, and about now how sexuality has come into the culture and basically soaks it through with there's no consequences for your actions. That you can't control this. You simply have to prevent life. And yet we know in Scripture, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There aren't two more oppositional things than that. It tells us that all parts of our life, whether our married life, our family life, has to be driven by prayer, has to be driven by sacrifice and by obedience to Christ and to his teachings, and a simple trust in God that if God gives you something, he's going to give you the ability to work through it. We're not alone in this world. And oftentimes we fall into these things because we think we are alone. But every major decision in our life has a spiritual component to it. Now some would say, well, Father, does that mean I should pray about what I'm going to eat? I said, only if you don't know who the cook is. You got a bad cook, you need to pray. You know? But there is something to be said about the fact that how many decisions do we make regarding our family, our life, our morality, and we don't ever bother to consult the Lord. We don't ever bother to pray. Because we've not taken Solomon's advice. We didn't ask for that wise heart that can teach us right from wrong. We ask for those fleeting things. And while they give us temporary pleasure and they give us comfort, they're not going to fulfill us. And they're not going to help us reach who God created us to be, which are saints. They're going to slowly tear us apart. They're going to slowly let us fall away. I was telling Deacon Marty this morning at the 9 o'clock Mass, I said, when I was an associate here some 13, 14 years ago, even in the summer, the 9 o'clock Mass and the 11 o'clock Mass, you couldn't find a seat. There's plenty of seats now. Where have everybody gone? Have there been more young to take the place of the ones who have died? Have people completely given up the pearl for something that's made of plastic? The Lord says there's always time for us to change. There's always time for us to look hard at our life. There's always time for us to hear the truth. And as hard as it is and the sacrifices it may entail, the truth will always give us what we need. Because it tells us who we are. And a world that doesn't know who it is going to be a world that's going to destroy itself. But today, God comes to us. He gives us his word, which is wisdom. And in a few minutes, he's going to give us the body and blood of his son, who is wisdom. He's going to say, take the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who died for us on the cross, who was raised from the dead, that we may know life, that we may have a wise and discerning heart. And we're going to receive that gift again. May that gift be able to cut through in our heart whatever is keeping us from hearing him. May that gift strengthen us to hear the truth. And most importantly, may that gift help us be really wise so we'll know the difference between the lies and the truth. And we'll know the difference between the love which Christ gives us and he asks us to pass on, and the things that sometimes pass for love today. God always offers us a new opportunity, and he will bring great good out of anything we carry out if we carry it out faithfully and lovingly, and if we persevere. In the end, we'll find joy. In the end, we're going to have that treasure. We're going to have that pearl. And we're going to recognize, and we're going to say to ourselves, that gift is priceless. I'm not going to give it away now or ever. And if I gave it away, I'm going to get it back.